Welcome to the final regularly scheduled Spotify episode of Fred's Front Porch Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed all the free episodes I've given you. There are well over 200, to which you may listen whenever you wish. As I approach the fourth anniversary of this show, however, it occurs to me that I have proven that this show is a high quality, well produced, brilliantly,
at least occasionally,
written show that is deserving of money. I don't approve of the fact that we live in a world dominated by something we invented to determine who deserves what. If I were God,
and I'm not, although I had a conversation with that idea a few weeks ago,
I would simply remove money from the planet, and we would all work together to help the species thrive. As long as we live in such a world, however, we need to support one another. And that means we need to pay them. The AMPTP is learning that money doesn't actually create anything. They need writers, actors, and countless thousands of others who do the work to create the movies and TV shows we enjoy. Money, by itself, is worthless. It is, in this world, necessary for survival. I hope you'll come to Patreon to listen to my show. You can hear it for as little as $5 a month, and if you want more from it, you can pay more. I'm done, however, giving away my work. I hope you enjoy this final free episode. I hope to see you on the porch soon. Love, Fred. I hear much about protecting our children. We must, I'm told, protect them from drag queens and transgender people. We must protect them from homosexuals and lesbians. And atheists are evil and going straight to hell. The children need to be protected from history books that will make them uncomfortable. To kill a mockingbird is upsetting. We can't teach our children about what happened in Birmingham in 1963. They're likely to be upset that four little black girls were killed by the explosion in the church. The story of Emmett Till is likely to give them bad dreams. Teaching them that it's normal to have two fathers or two mothers is to groom them to become deviants. Showing them science that declares the earth to be well over 6,000 years old is going to cause them to doubt their faith, and this is completely unacceptable. Far from the separation of church and state, we need to return prayer to the classroom so we can save our children from the liberal. Fred's Front Porch Podcast is made possible by our unofficial patron saints, Boo Radley, Miss Maudie, and Shoshana Edwards. Our official patron saint and shining light, Edith Keeler. Our producers, Shoshana Edwards and Coralie Day with Scott Knight, and the people on the porch. Welcome, fellow travelers, on this rock tumbling through space. I'm Fred, and this is my front porch. Come on up and sit a while. There are ideas to be discussed on this old set of nicely nailed together boards. Thank you. protecting our children. These arguments are commonly found all over social media, and they're fairly frequently encountered on what we now call news, although I think that's an unfair characterization of what journalists intended to do. I agree that we need to protect our children. There are few parents who wouldn't give their lives to save their progeny. Those that wouldn't are parents I probably wouldn't like very well. Our children are the future of the world. They are the best part of humanity. I know of nothing more beautiful than a newborn infant, all the hope in the universe, residing in each breath she takes. Every smile is a source of soaring joy. Every laugh is more beautiful than a Mozart aria. The first steps she takes are an event. Her first words are a celebration of human achievement. I don't, however, think they need to be protected from the possibility that they may be different from their parents, their peers, or even different from me. Each child is a new chance to make the world more beautiful, more meaningful, safer, smarter, and more resilient. A child represents hope for a brighter future. They absolutely must be protected. But protected from what? One of the things from which they need to be protected was in the news a couple weeks ago, but ignored by most of my friends.
Austin, Texas, AP. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's escalating measures to stop migrants along the U.S. border with Mexico came under a burst of new criticism Tuesday after a state trooper said migrants were left bloodied from razor wire barriers and that orders were given to deny people water in sweltering heat. In one account, Texas trooper Nicholas Wingate told a supervisor that upon encountering a group of 120 migrants on June 25th, including young children and mothers nursing babies, in Maverick County, a rural Texas border county, he and another trooper were ordered to push the people back into the water to go to Mexico. The trooper described the actions in an email dated July 3rd as inhumane.
You could argue that those were not our children. But then I would probably want to slap you. These are the children of human beings, and there is no morally defensible argument that can be made for pushing them back into the river. We don't deny dehydrating humans water, ever, under any circumstances. While few of us have any difficulty saying we would die for our children, too few of us can imagine crossing deserts, rivers, and rough terrain to save them from the horrors of cartels found in many other countries. If you want to tell me these people were never in any real danger, then I have to ask, why in the hell would they go through all that just to get to America? If it's because America, with its homelessness and huddled masses, is better than where they came from, their place of origin must suck pretty badly. We shouldn't shun them. We would do better to welcome them. We have a moral obligation to help them. If you're going to tell me Americans first, I'm going to search for a bridge off which, if I were strong enough, I would try to push you. American children, more than those in any other country, need to be protected from the school shooters who will be returning in another few weeks. And those who talk so much about protecting them from drag queens have little interest in preventing mass shootings. They'll scream about the Second Amendment as though it were carved in stone tablets Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. Our right to own guns is infinitely more important than protecting our children from psychotics. Do we want to protect children from sexual abuse? Then let's find those who are actually abusing them. Being a drag queen, being gay, being transgender, or having a different form of sexuality does nothing to suggest one is a pedophile. We fight about who we will let into bathrooms while children are being molested by priests. Priests, though, get passed from location to location while their abuse is actively covered up, and many of us look the other way. I'm told that teachers abuse children as much as 10 times more frequently than priests. The thing is, teachers don't get passed over to a new school. They get fired, and they are often put in prison. Child abuse absolutely happens. It absolutely needs to be stopped. We agree on that. My interest is in finding those who are doing it, so we can prevent them from repeating that behavior. I'm interested in evidence, not innuendo. We distract ourselves from the problem by pretending those we don't like are secretly committing atrocities. While we're looking in that direction, we're not looking at the perpetrators we would all like to stop. We don't want to frighten children with history, but many of us are more than happy to terrify them with the thought that if they don't follow a set of rules strictly, they will burn in eternal flame. Teaching them this mythology is allowed because it's a deeply held religious faith. I can't prove they're wrong, but I do know that it's difficult to imagine anything more horrible than hell. We want children to understand love, and many of us teach them that love is accomplished by threat. You can love God and you will have a wonderful afterlife if you follow all of God's rules as interpreted by your particular church. You get to be happy. If, however, you don't, you will suffer the most painful torture our imaginations can create. Man is capable of many kinds of torture. We are expert in it. That's a failing of man. It's a sickening fact of our species. For God, it's seen as a feature, not a bug. God loves the children, but that might mean they will feel fire melting their skin off their bodies. And not just for a little while, as witches once did when they were burned at the stake. The witches were finally released by death. God doesn't grant that release. Hell is eternal. We can't teach them facts of history, but we absolutely must teach them to believe in heaven and hell. Our sacred traditions need to be carried on through every successive generation. If we're truly interested in protecting our children, as I believe we should be, we need to start by not hurting them ourselves. Stop traumatizing them with mythology we repeat as though it were history. Stop hiding history from them so they have a chance to learn from it. They can learn that we have perpetrated more than our share of evil. They can learn that we have a chance at redemption. They can help to make us better by recognizing where we came from and where we are going. They can steer a better course for our ship if they know what to avoid and what to embrace. If we want to protect our children, let's see what we can do to keep them from being shot while they're at school. Let's make some effort to keep guns out of the hands of those who are likely to use them to commit mass murder. We know it happens. It's not innuendo. It's history. It's Parkland. It's Sandy Hook. It's Uvalde. It's a list that gets longer every year. It's a list that will probably be longer by the time this episode is a week old. And I don't believe any rational person would make any effort to argue against those facts. Alex Jones is not rational, and he's not listening to this. You are rational, and you're listening. The moment we bring up any hint of gun control, the NRA leaps straight to the extreme argument in order to frighten us at the thought of losing our ability to use our weapons to defend ourselves. It's the all-or-nothing position. We can all own any weapons and all the weapons we want, or no one can have any weapons at all. Forget nuance. Ignore the possibilities between the extremes. It's heaven or hell. It's love by threat. I won't be able to use my gun to defend my children from some psychotic who breaks into my home with his gun. And if guns are illegal, only criminals will have them. We have to let everyone have all the guns they want because a good guy with a gun will stop the bad guy with the gun. Except, you know, in Uvalde, where more than a dozen good guys with guns stood outside while children were being butchered by a monster with an AR-15. And the good guys with guns were afraid of the bad guy with a really badass gun. And now we get to hear the gun expert jump in with how much they know about guns and how stupid we are because we don't even know what the hell an assault weapon is. And that's a phenomenal distraction. Again, it takes our eyes off the bloody bodies of our children and their teachers and focuses us on the mechanics of tools used primarily for killing people. Wait, here come the hunters who want to tell us why they need an AR-15 to take out the feral pigs or defend themselves from marauding bands of malignant mice. Let's look over there at the pigs and let's ignore the body parts of a first grader that are spread across her classroom like one of Speedy Shine's chew toys. As long as we live in an us versus them, either or, heaven or hell, all or nothing world, we will continue to expose our children to horrendous harm. When we begin to think more carefully, when we begin to look for effective solutions, we can protect our children. What if we decided that before we sell someone a gun, we check into their background a little? Who gets to have guns and who doesn't? What are the requirements they must meet? I don't have definitive answers to those questions, but they're worth asking, aren't they? Intelligent people of good intent can certainly have different opinions, and we should consider as many as are reasonable before we decide. But that's the conversation we need to be having. What if, instead of telling children who still believe Santa Claus comes down their chimneys on Christmas Eve, that they're going to be tortured endlessly if they don't obey. We tell them stories and help them understand the difference between pretend and real. What if we teach them that love is about acceptance and joy and is never accomplished by threats? What if we show them love and acceptance and encourage them to be who they want to be, even if that changes 3 times a day? Can we share our religious faith with our children without traumatizing them? How would it be if we focused on real dangers to our children and we tried our best to eliminate, or at least to minimize, those threats to the greatest extent possible? Protect them from real abuse and stop wasting time on whispered stories that have little relation to the truth. Our children are too important to be sacrificed at the altar of innuendo. We're entrusting our children with the future. They're entrusting us with their present. Let's be worthy of their present trust so we can be worthy of the future we trust them to create. And yes, just like the children, I love you.
Next week on Fred's Front Porch Podcast.
I am an unreasonably fortunate person. While it's true that I suffer from a particularly difficult course of diabetes, so that I live my life on a tightrope, and I have a depression that has rendered me deeply mentally ill, such that it cost me my best friend, and I live in poverty, I have such good friends that I am rarely allowed to suffer. They help me in countless ways, financial, emotional, and artistic. One of the advantages of surrounding myself with so many extraordinary artists, many of whom actually love me, is that they can help me in ways most people can't. They are useful when their art moves me in ways that help me cope with my depression. They are helpful in improving my own art. And this week, a very good friend, a producer among the people on the porch, and an unofficial patron saint, offered to help me with my next episode. I'm writing the most difficult piece I've tried in many years. It will either be brilliant or bullshit. There's little room in between. I'm hoping for brilliant, but it requires much more time. So, understanding this, Shoshana Edwards loaned me some of her art to use for this week's episode. You'll see Shoshana's poetry in videos all over my Patreon page and on her YouTube channel. This week, she's sharing an excerpt from her book, Secrets of Water, that I find deeply moving. Art is both universal and personal, in case I haven't mentioned that several billion times yet. And this piece, while it forms a part of a much larger novel, is a powerful representation of the mourning that all of us, at some point or another, will do, assuming we outlive anyone we love. I've done more mourning than I ever wanted to do already, and I humbly request that all of you outlive me, because mourning is simply no fun. The novel is an occult mystery, but the piece you're about to hear stands all on its own. The novel will be released soon, and yes, I'll be sharing links so you can buy it. So, please welcome my friend, Shoshana Edwards, with a few pages from The Secrets of Water. I'll talk to you next week. Gratitude is an excellent weapon against depression. As someone who lives with a daily, I find it more than a little helpful to focus my attention on the reasons I have to be thankful. They are a powerful defense against the part of me that spends lots of time wanting to dive into the abyss and leave Earth and its endless problems behind. In space, no one can hear you scream, as someone once told us. I'm grateful to these people not just for supporting me financially, although that is remarkably important to me, but for believing in my work. An artist needs an audience, or they're singing an aria in an empty cave. And one of the things about which I'm most proud is the quality of human beings who listen to this show. On this list, you will find a collection of artists of many sorts, all of whom make valuable contributions to our world that have nothing to do with this show. There are brilliant writers, extraordinary musicians, amazing teachers, enterprising entrepreneurs, and some of the best parents on the planet. There is not a single person on this list who is ordinary. My audience is made up of some of the best people on the planet, and I value them much more than the millions of mouth-breathing reality show viewers who might bring wealth, but no sense of pride. Holding the attention of the masses isn't anything I'm interested in doing. Having the attention of people I admire means more to me than money ever will. I'm incredibly proud of this list of exceptional human beings. These are the people on the porch. Our unofficial patron saints are Miss Maudie, Boo Radley, and Shoshana Edwards. Our patron saint and shining light is Edith Keeler. Our producers are Coralie Day with Scott Knight and Shoshana Edwards. Our Speedy Shine sponsors are Karen Herbert and Carrie DeDeo.
Thank you, Karen and Carrie, because that is such the nicest thing to do. And then I am all happy and proud about that. So thank you.
Our patrons are Kevin Boyce, Linda M. Crotta, Marie Janicki, Mary Rosello, Sandy Brower, Sherlock, the mystery patron. Our sponsors are Alex Oliphant, Amos Stewart, Corey Pluard, Greg Roybal, Jake Margaram, Frau Bluka, Pavel S., Phil Parkman, Robert Blomker II, and our newest sponsor is Tom Tyson. Tom, welcome to the front porch. We are truly honored to have you among us. And Zara is our final sponsor. Our supporters are Christine L. Patterson, Cindy Mandel, Cynthia Ostrom, Deborah Rice, Donna D. Leaf, Glenn Elfman, Jackie Jolly, Jamie Sassy, John G., Judy W. Morris, Kim, Christine Pavlik, Mark Rosema, Michelle Sylvester, MJ, Natalie Fredrickson, Roxanne Wolf, Sarah Nimitz, Stephanie Hansen, and Susan Oski. Our other supporters are Interstellar Frequency, and our first supporter was and is Jareen. Thank you for helping Speedy Shine and his smelly old man to shine. As one of the people on the porch advised us, I ain't gonna dim my light for no one. Thank you for shining your lights on us. Thanks for letting me share my thoughts and ideas with you. Find your episodes of Fred's Front Porch podcast early and commercial-free only on Patreon. And check out our new website at fredsfrontporch.com. No, there's no punctuation in this one either, but hey, welcome to the internet. Anyway, thanks for being here. I'll talk to you next week.